Welcome back into Bet on Chicago here on WLS 890 AM. I'm Mike Palm at Circa Maestro on Twitter, Vice President of Operations for Circa and Circa Sports. Welcome. Welcome in for our second hour of programming this evening. Hopefully you're with us the first hour. If not, that's okay. We're going to talk to Chris Vasile coming up here in about 5 minutes. He'll give us his takes on the remaining quarterfinal matchups, as well as any potential semifinal matchups in the World Cup and his thoughts on America's performance against Belgium and the state of the American men's soccer team, men's national soccer team. We'll also talk some WNBA, Skylar Diggins having her own issues in Chicago, Kennedy Carter, former Sky, cut by the Aces. And at the end of the hour, Chris is going to rejoin us to talk NHL. Well, you know, this will be the All-Star break coming up this week. And so we'll have our home run derby on Monday and our All-Star game on Tuesday. Munetaka Murakami, the outstanding first-year player for the White Sox, who's been on the injured list for a few weeks, returns on Friday to action. And it's just been announced that he will be in the home run derby on Monday. I can't disagree with this more. I don't mean it to be to take away an opportunity for Murakami, but coming off the injured list and then going and swinging in a competition that makes you try to hit home runs for long blocks of time and swinging and swinging and swinging and swinging. We've seen it over the years. Players come out of this home run competition and their numbers have fallen off. Now, that's not always been the case, but it's happened. And someone coming off the injured list to put your body through this kind of an unnatural thing where you swinging every 6 to 7 seconds, I think is a mistake. Who's competing in the home run contest? Kyle Schwarber, who leads Major League Baseball with 32 home runs. Ben Rice, who leads the American League with 28. Junior Caminero, who is right now the second choice in the MVP voting in the MVP race in terms of the odds. For the Rays, he has 27. Jordan Walker having a huge year for the Cardinals with 22. Murakami had 20. And, of course, has missed almost a month. Bryce Harper with 20. For the Phillies, Wilson Contreras in his first year with the Red Sox with 20. And Jack Caglianone, I don't get it, with 14 home runs. He completes the field. How about all the players that have opted out? Now, I get some is for injury, but this is becoming like a mid-December bowl game. You know, I defended it as the last real all-star competition and loved it growing up as a child. I think they should do away with all of them. This flag football skills nonsense of the NFL, cancel the game. This NBA nonsense where nobody plays defense and the stars and this team, and now you're playing these short games, 2 out of 3, nonsense. The hockey, the 3-on-3, it's nothing to do with the way the game is really played and regulation and base. Just cancel them all. You still vote the awards. You get the honor. You put it on your resume. You get the plaque, whatever. Enough is enough. Shohei Ohtani, National League leading vote getter. Now he's skipping his start on Friday night in LA. He was supposed to start against the Diamondbacks. He's had a little bit of discomfort in his left knee, skipping the All-Star game. Aaron Judge is out with a rib injury, and definitely he's going to miss it. Vlad Guerrero claims a back issue. I'm not saying he's a liar. Should have never made it. You know, it's fan voting. Should have never made it. My opinion, he did the honorable thing and passed. Byron Buxton. How about Derek Shelton with the Twins? People did take the Twins seriously. They hired a guy that the most games he ever won in Pittsburgh was 75. I mean, the guy was losing 90 games every year. And yet he's a proven track record of losing. Buxton comes back after being out. What's the first thing he has him do? Try to steal in the first inning and gets re-injured. So much nonsense. Paul Skeens is just sitting out. Paul Skeens, defending Cy Young winner. And just sitting out. Max Myers, right in a pitcher for the Mets. He's going to sit out. Jacob Mizorowski, he's going to sit out. Ranger Suarez, he's going to sit out. Wheeler, upset he didn't get invited. I guess they're going to invite Zach Wheeler. You could tell in the way he pitched, he had 10 strikeouts through 5 the other night. Now, if they offer to Wheeler, the game's being played in Philadelphia, I'm assuming he's going to say yes, not that he wants to. I'm sure he'd like to tell him no, but for the fact that all the Philly fans that will be in attendance, and I think it would be doing them a disservice not to get to see him pitch. End all these All-Star games. Bet on Chicago, WLS 890 AM. Welcome back into Bet on Chicago here on WLS 890 AM. And our first guest of the second hour is Chris Vasil. Chris has been kind enough to join us the last few weeks and really been helpful in breaking down our World Cup coverage as well as thoughts on the WNBA. And as we record this on Friday, July 10th, we've played one of the quarterfinal rounds. France advanced with a 2-0 victory over Morocco yesterday. Spain will take on Belgium today. And then on Saturday, we have two matches. England will take on Norway, that match in Miami. And then the nightcap, we have Argentina taking on Switzerland from Arrowhead in Kansas City. Real quickly, Chris, I know these games will have been played before we get to air, but people are interested because you were so good in that round of 16 with your picks. Just quickly, what you have on Spain, Belgium, and on England and Norway.
Yeah, so Spain, Belgium is kind of a contrast in styles. I played both teams to score, yes, at -125. I know much was made about kind of Spain's defensive, defensive prowess, not conceding a goal. But I do think Belgium offers a way to attack Spain that teams couldn't have attacked them, in the previous two knockout rounds. I do think Belgium's, attack can trouble this high Spain backline and find the back of the net. So both teams to score there. And for the England-Norway game, you wouldn't catch me with an under ticket in this game with Harry Kane and Erling Haaland kind of leading the lines in fine form. So over 2.5 goals is how I played that. Simply put, Norway's true to their identity throughout the, entirety of the World Cup qualifying and, into this tournament as well. Attack, attack, attack. And, England, they kind of feel like they're playing a different tournament than in years past where they're playing not to lose. This year, they're playing more comfortably, more freely. And, there's plenty of secondary scoring and elite firepower. I played the over 2.5 goals in that game.
I get it. I get it a lot. I'm aligned with you there on that game. And I have the Norway. So I have Norway 6-1 to make a semi. So, I have a clean hedge here with England to advance, but also 30-1 to win it all. So I will probably just cover my tickets with the England because I do still like Norway here. I think this is a game that could likely go to extra time at 2-2. And so I like the chances there with the odds. All right, let's break down Argentina and Switzerland. I do not have a wager on this match. Of all the, let's say, favorites or well-known teams in the tournament, I probably stayed away from Argentina more than anybody, just really betting Messi to score or Messi over 1.5 goals. I thought I had a better read on their defense until they got to the knockout rounds. Wasn't particularly impressed against Cape Verde. I mean, obviously the second goal was a tremendous goal, but the first goal was a defensive breakdown. And then we saw them let Egypt counter several times and they were not good getting back. Switzerland surprised me. I really thought Colombia was going to advance out of that game. Your thoughts here, I could make arguments for both sides.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. So I'm holding an Argentina outright ticket before the tournament started. So this is kind of one that I'm not, in a rush to double down on. Argentina money line -145 doesn't kind of move the needle. If you want to parlay that, with Messi to score or assist, you're getting about +110. So that's a little bit of a value play that you can, I would get behind. I do think Argentina is the better team from back to front. If you look at those two games in the knockout round so far, two goals allowed against Cabo Verde, two against Egypt. One was a worldie from that Cabo Verde left back that just kind of caught everybody off guard. But ultimately, the counterattacks were there, yes, but Argentina still dictated the play for, the 90 minutes in regulation time in both games. Yes, they got caught out on the counter, but I do think that, once we get into the quarterfinals, semifinals, and possibly finals, hopefully for them, that defense is going to tighten up just that, killer instinct, that mentality of how to get the job done, how to find ways to win. I think that's a big, a thing that's kind of overlooked when you're looking at these kind of elite teams that are still trying to win the big one. This Switzerland side, I said coming into the tournament, they were the one of the most underrated teams in the tournament. And, here they are, the final eight. They're playing good football, but, they're lucky to go through against Colombia. Colombia missed plenty of, you know, clear-cut chances, could have won in a regulation, extra time, and then in penalties, kind of anything can happen. So yeah, I'm not in a rush to bet this one, but, you know, Argentina money line, Messi score to assist, that seems the most straightforward way to kind of, you know, play it at plus money prices.
Let's assume that Spain advances against Belgium. I want to get your thoughts on what would happen Tuesday in Dallas in the first semifinal. France, Spain, the game everybody's been waiting for, you know, number one versus number three, your pre-tournament favorite Spain versus your current favorite France. Your thoughts on Spain, France?
Yeah, this is kind of going to be one of the, you know, a semifinal that's worthy of a final. I bet Spain to reach the final at plus 230 before the tournament. So we're kind of in a good spot if they, you know, do get through Belgium in the quarterfinals. My first instinct would be both teams to score. I'm not exactly sure what the price would be. I would assume it would be upwards, probably minus 134, I would say, to open. I do think that would be the favorite market. You know, I can't see a world where we're living in a 0-0, you know, dull affair with these two teams that have plenty of attacking power, you know, haven't really been tested against an elite offense. You know, France has not conceded a goal in the knockout rounds. Spain, obviously, the same coming into this game against Belgium. But yeah, I would play both teams to score. I would give the edge to Spain just on their ability to kind of control the game a little bit better than France do. Spain lead the tournament in possession. So, you know, with them with the ball is, you know, their best kind of form of defense, you know, to kind of limit Mbappe, Dembele, Olise, and that France attack.
Let's close our talk of soccer. And it's been exhaustive coverage of the U.S.'s 4-1 loss to Belgium and the state of U.S. soccer. You're a native Canadian. You played professional hockey. You don't have a dog in this fight to talk about U.S. soccer. I'll give you my thought to start with. If you look at it from a betting perspective, the U.S. being eliminated in the round of 16 was the favorite of all the options, right? This was the bar. They reached the bar. Now, I talked to, you know, I've interviewed several of the Fox commentators about this and people who played soccer for USA, obviously, US men's national team. And they said for them, the bar was getting to the round of 16 and then it being competitive against the top side in the round of 16. You can make the argument they didn't do that, that they weren't competitive. And so there they fell short. But in terms of how far they advanced, I mean, this was par. They made par to me. Your thoughts on the state of the U.S. men's soccer program?
Yeah, so that's you know, that's a good take. I do think from the betting aspect, you're spot on. The round of 16 was kind of the bar. I do think this team was on paper better than the round of 16. I had them, you know, their ceiling being the quarterfinals and coming up against, you know, now Spain if they would have beat Belgium. I think, you know, we'll call a spade for a spade here. The, you know, the Trump in involvement and kind of that whole distraction with the red card just didn't have them ready to play. That was a major distraction. And, you know, no discrediting the Belgium side. They played that game, you know, perfect from a tactical perspective. The changes they made, the way they attacked this, the USA weaknesses, that was, you know, tip of the cap to them. But this USA side, they were distracted and they kind of, you know, peed down their leg a little bit on one of the biggest stages. I do think that this United States team was good enough to beat Belgium if it happened on any other day and kind of the circumstances around, you know, the red card and all that kind of circus behind the scenes didn't go down how it was. And, you know, the story comes out about Pulisic, you know, playing with kind of an injured tibia or fibia, whatever the injury was there in his shin. You know, it did look like he was kind of struggling at times in that game. But yeah, I thought the ceiling for them was the quarterfinals. And it just goes to show kind of the elite nations, the difference between the elite nations and the ones and the chasing packs. You know, a lot of discourse about the USA being able to beat Germany just because they ran wild against Paraguay and Paraguay beat Germany. It doesn't work like that. You still have to play the games. And the difference between the elite nations and the chasing pack is one that, you know, people need to realize it's a lot bigger than what they would think.
Let's transition to the WNBA. And before we play contender or pretender, to me, one of the more surprising turns of event was Chinedu Carter's tenure with the Las Vegas Aces. Of course, we're right here in Las Vegas following this team rather closely. My daughters are big Aces fans. You know, 2 weeks into the season, she was minus $3 for sixth player of the year, right? She was really doing a great job. And there was an incident that happened in a game against Dallas that we come to find out where several of her teammates, including Asia, got on her about missing a defensive assignment against AZ Fudd, and she clapped back at them. She got benched and now released this week by the Aces. Becky Hammon really wouldn't comment when asked directly on it at the press conference yesterday, but did say the kind of players they want on her team are players that don't take possessions off and team-oriented. Thoughts on Chinedu Carter's situation?
Yeah, it's wild to say the least. I think this is a player who has obviously tremendous talent. I think the attitude kind of, you know, to the upper, you know, the upper, I guess, the veterans of the team just didn't really jive well with what the Aces were trying to do. I do think that, you know, taking a team approach over, you know, an individual that might help you in the long run is kind of the way that, you know, I would see the Aces playing that. You know, obviously they're veteran. They have a veteran coach in Becky Hammon, who was kind of, you know, tight-lipped, like you said, against, you know, the reporters and not commenting on, you know, players who are no longer with us, as she said. It's crazy to see that the WNBA is kind of turning to this kind of like petty caddy league where, you know, one little dust up and, you know, everybody's talking about it and you're kind of getting cut from a team. But yeah, Chinedu Carter, you know, great talent, can contribute to any team. It just, you know, we've seen this time and time again with, you know, a few of her stops now. She just kind of doesn't mesh with, you know, the locker room chemistry, and, you know, the bust ups that she has is kind of unfortunately overshadowing what her ability is.
And then Skylar Diggins is told by Marsh that she's going to be coming off the bench because Vandersloot comes back. She goes immediately to Instagram on her story and does almost the exact same thing that Angel Reese did last year, right? They're not bringing in the elite talent. The practice facility isn't ready. I was blindsided by this news. And I'll give this to the Sky. They were very consistent. They suspended Angel Reese for a half. They suspend Skylar Diggins for a half, but then say she's got a right knee injury and didn't play. We'll see on Friday if she's eligible. And if she's eligible, does she do the suspension? I've followed Skylar Diggins for a long time, being a Notre Dame grad. I mean, she rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Thoughts on Skylar Diggins in the Sky?
Yeah, what's going on in Chicago? There must be something in the water there because, you know, they just seem to can't keep these star players, you know, happy. You know, right now they're 7-14, very little shot of making the playoffs. So, you know, what kind of makes this story interesting to me is, you know, what are they doing? What's the long-term plan here for them? You know, Skylar Diggins, you know, should be a part of their plan, you know, in the this year, next year, and probably the year after that, you know, in the short term. I just don't see what the Sky's ultimate plan is for this season. I mean, you got to keep your star players happy. Obviously, you know, she's been up and down this year, battling a little bit of a knee injury, so they say. But yeah, you got to do what you can to keep your star players happy, or else they're gonna find their way, you know, to request a trade or get their way out of town somehow.
Let's play contender or pretender. But so we have to have everything always needs definitions, right? So I'm gonna put it this way. Contender or pretender? Contender means you believe that they will make the final four, or they have a very, very good chance to make the final four. Because I think that's the interesting betting market here, which you can say, will they reach the semifinals, right? All yes. Right. Contender or pretender? The Atlanta Dream.
I think they are a pretender. I don't think they are built in a way to contend with the likes of, you know, the Liberty or the Fever in a, you know, a longer series. I do think their defensive capabilities are kind of limited. I know Angel Reese is kind of, you know, doing her thing on the boards and whatnot, and they got some good players that can score the basket, but I just don't think right now, at least, you know, they're on a pretty big slide. I don't think they'll be able to recover that. I bet them under their 30 and a half win total, I think preseason, whatever it was there. So we're looking good with that. But yeah, I don't see the Dream ending up in the Final Four.
The Dallas Wings.
They are a contender. I believe this Wings side is one that bodes itself well playing defense. They're the fifth best defensive rated team in the WNBA. They get easy buckets around the glass. 56% of their points are two pointers, you know, in the paint almost. Page Becker's obviously leading the way for them. I do think they have a good shot in the Western Conference. I know the Aces and the Lynx are kind of going to be there too, but I do think if they can get their perimeter shooting up a notch with their way they're defending and the way Paige Bueckers is playing, I think they can pull a bit of a deep run together and get into that Final Four contention.
The Indiana Fever.
I think they are a pretender. I think that if you're looking at kind of the outright markets for, you know, the outright championship, they're plus 2,000. The Wings are plus 2,200. I would prefer the Wings over the Fever. I know they got, you know, Caitlin Clark gets all the headlines, but, you know, Kelsey Mitchell is kind of leading that team. She's having an incredible season. Aliyah Boston is finally starting to kind of, find her footing as one of the league's kind of premier interior players. Those are the stories that are not getting enough attention, I think, but the defense is worrisome. Almost 90 points allowed per game, you know, against a team like the Liberty or, you know, the Dream, who have good offensive pieces. I don't think they're going to get enough key stops, and their depth, I'm not sold on their depth, you know, outside of that big three. So I would say they are a pretender.
Golden State Valkyries.
Yes, this is a contender. We talked a couple weeks ago. I gave you the Valkyries as kind of one to watch for the outright markets, plus 1,600. Now they're down to plus 1,000 at some books. This team just does kind of everything well. They're well coached. They play good defense. They have elite perimeter shooting. This is a team that plays like a team, and which is a nice change to see from, you know, some of the teams that kind of are superstar driven. I do really like their path in the Western Conference. The Lynx, I'm sure, will come up, but I do think that the Valkyries are built more for playoff basketball than, the Lynx with relying on a rookie guard in the likes of the Lynx.
From the FIFA World Cup to competitive business environments, grand ambitions lead to game-changing achievements. At Bank of America, we're there to support businesses at every step, providing insights and expertise to help you gain an edge.
He shoots! He scores!
What would you like the power to do? Explore winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Joe Fallon did something smart. He saved hundreds on auto insurance switching to Progressive. With that money, he commissioned a portrait of himself. Does Joe already know what he looks like? Yes. Do guests know what he looks like? Also yes. But not as art. It's Joe's savings, and if he wants to spend it on a velvet painting of himself with a white tiger at his feet, we say, roar, Joe, roar. Switch and see if you could save with Progressive, and treat yourself. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
It's game day. Are your moderate to severe Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keeping you from the action? Skyrizi, risankizumab Riza, could help you get back to the game. Skyrizi is proven to help people feel significant symptom relief, achieve remission, and visibly improve damage of the intestinal lining. Skyrizi is a prescription injection medicine for adults. Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines. Liver problems leading to hospitalization may occur when treated for Crohn's or ulcerative colitis.
Control is everything to me.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis combined. Learn more at Skyrizi.com or 1-866-SKYRIZI.
This summer, the honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich and pineapple dragon fruit and Sprite are back at Chick-fil-A.
Girl, it's back. We've been waiting. I love that honey pepper pimento sandwich.
And that pineapple dragon fruit and Sprite is everything. It's got that razzle-dazzle that makes you stop and say, okay, wait a minute.
I love the creaminess of the pimento cheese. It's savory. It's bold. It's flavorful.
Our faves are back.
I saw, girl.
Which fan favorite will you choose? Real customers paid for their testimonials.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. After my husband died, the last thing I wanted to think about was money. He Ethos made it affordable to get life insurance. Signing up was fast and 100% online. I knew that I could pay our mortgage and have food in the fridge. I could focus on my kids. No one ever tells you how much you're going to depend on that policy. I am so grateful we had coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Welcome back into Bet on Chicago here on WLS 890 AM. You're listening to Mike Palm. I'm the Vice President of Operations for Circa, the D and Golden Gate Casinos in downtown Las Vegas, as well as Circa Sports, which can be found in six states, Nevada, Colorado, Iowa, Missouri, Kentucky, and of course, the state of Illinois. A lot of you have written and asked to discuss my thoughts on the American League Central and relative to my two future positions on the White Sox. Now, for those of you who are just tuning in and are unaware, we bet the White Sox on the day Tariq Skubal was announced that he was going to be out 2 to 3 months. We bet the White Sox to win the AL Central at 25-1. And we bet the White Sox to make the playoffs at 4-1. So good positions to have. Now, I've been chronicling my thoughts on the division and when was the buyback point if I could narrow down the race to just the White Sox and the Guardians. What would I buy back on the Guardians? There was a point leading into that four-game series in Cleveland last weekend, the White Sox having a one-game lead where the Guardians were even money. I didn't pull the trigger yet. And, you know, the White Sox got swept by the Red Sox. Look, the problem here, and people say, well, what about the Twins? They're only two games back. Look, folks, if the Twins win this division, then I'll just lose my money. Because I cannot in good conscience try to monetize my position by betting the Twins. I just don't believe in them. I don't believe this infield. I think their stars are very limited. Buxton hurt again. I don't know if they're going to move Joe Ryan. Who knows what's going on in the Polad's head? The Tigers is what concerns me now. Tigers 8-2 in their last 10. They're only 4.5 games back of the White Sox and Guardians, who are in a virtual dead heat. If we look at the odds and taping now on Friday evening, the 10th, if we go back and we look at our division winner odds, The Guardians going into today are a little over even money, plus 115. Good thing, right? It's gone up in price. White Sox are 210, irrelevant to my spot. The Twins are 7-1, but the Tigers are best price in the market in Illinois that I see right now is around plus 420. So should we bet the Tigers? Now, I think the Tigers bet comes down to, in large part, are they going to try to move Tariq Skubal, the two-time defending Cy Young champion? Now, he's not going to win the Cy Young this year, but are they going to move him before the August trade deadline? So I think what we want to do is analyze the schedules of the three teams in particular that I'm thinking about here in this division, the White Sox, the Guardians, and the Tigers, to analyze whether we think a bet on the Tigers is a good move at this time. So August 3rd is the trade deadline. So we have to really evaluate schedules of these teams through the rest of July. And we're going to be done with them headed to the All-Star break. So essentially taking almost a week off. This weekend, the White Sox are hosting the Athletics. The Guardians are in South Florida taking on very good, looks like, Marlins team. And the Tigers are hosting the Phillies. So most relevant schedule is going to be the Tigers. Coming out of the All-Star break, they are going to travel to Southern California for a three-game set with the Angels. And then as they head back home, they play a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday series in Chicago against the Cubs. Then they host the Royals for four that Thursday through Sunday. They host The Orioles for three. They close out July with a weekend series, basically in Oakland. So that's the Tigers' schedule. I guess the next most relevant schedule then is going to be, what are we looking at for the White Sox over the same period coming out of the All-Star break? The White Sox will be in Toronto. Then they go to Texas to take on the Rangers. Then they come home, and they don't play the Astros on the road, but they play the Astros at home. Then a four-game set with the Yankees, and then they go to Tampa Bay for three. So I would say the White Sox schedule is appreciably harder than the Tigers during this stretch, which makes me think that our monetizing position now, instead of focusing on the Guardians, with Jose Ramirez still not in their lineup, we have to evaluate. Probably I want to wait for this weekend to see if the White Sox can win two out of a three, or maybe even sweep the A's, who are 1-9 in their last 10. And hopefully maybe the Phillies can take two out of three from the Tigers. But if the White Sox can game a game or two in the standings this weekend, maybe that Tigers price is 6-1. We take a hard look at that during the All-Star break. But on Chicago WLS 890.